This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans. This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Puts it in the air. Aiden Flint wins the
goal. It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh my word!
Hello, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge and joining me tonight is Ben from the Green and White Podcast as we talk about our upcoming fixture at Hillsborough against the Argyle Inn.
Hello from the other side.
I won't be giving you a chorus of that.
No. That's the bit where you're meant to carry on singing, you know what I mean? That's the bit. Ben, how's it going, man? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, you know, everything's getting a bit twitchy these days, the way things are going down the bottom here. But still been a pretty good season so far.
Well, this is what I wanted to get into for most of the show. I wanted you to talk about, you know, the back end of last season. And, well, I said the back end of it, most of the season last season. Getting into the Championship, how you find it, and then the tumultuous time you've had through the calendar month of February. It's been a bit, you know, squeaky bum time for you chaps. So, you know, let's get into it. So, last season, you lot pissed me off right from the start because you just wouldn't die. You just kept it up. I mean, who do you or what do you attribute that to?
I think Stephen Schumacher, for all his flaws, he's got two very good skills. One is reacting to and changing tactics in game, reacting to game state. But the other one is creating that kind of little man syndrome, especially for a club like Argyle. I mean, as much as he chose to jump ship at the first, you know, available opportunity, I think he did understand that about both the fan base, but also, you know, the club. I think you get a certain type of player who's willing to come down here, travel on the coach however many miles every day. It takes a certain kind of attitude, and he really sort of galvanized the squad, which, you know, in terms of wages and budgets and transfers, was like a mid-table squad, and sort of really united them in that kind of Jose Mourinho backs against the wall, everyone it's against us, everyone wants us to fail, no one's talking about us kind of mentality, like he did, you know, sort of many years ago with Chelsea at a higher level. So I think, you know, the credit has to go to Stephen Schumacher for that. But I think the players within the squad, there's some really good leaders. Joe Edwards, although he's not featured quite so much this year, you know, and lots of other decent guys in the squad. Jordan Houghton, you know, decent senior pros. Dan Scar, again, some of these haven't featured all that much during the season, but in the dressing room were vital last season and even this season, providing that kind of leadership that you kind of need when it's, you know, as you're well aware, having, you know, experienced it. Fortunately for you, you came out all right in the end, but it, you know, it was a very nervous, nail biting several months towards the end of the season, really, from Christmas on, really was just a roller coaster. Some of us enjoyed it and some of us not so much.
Well, this is it, right? So that season in League One, you know, you guys had a roaring start. We had a stuttered start and then went on a mega run and then absolutely dropped our ass this time last year back in February, March. And Ipswich just seemed to just gallop out of nowhere. They had a really good January. They solidified really well and essentially came in and crashed the party. And we had to do something in the playoffs that no one's ever done before. And then we had to go through the playoff final that was scored with 4 seconds to go. I mean, you know, it's a great headline, but I tell you what, it's your backside is 5p, 50p for a lot of that, for about 3-4 months. You know what I mean?
It's a great story
to tell, but fucking hell, I'd have rather gone up when you guys did.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I remember sort of like after the first leg of the playoff, you know, and it seemed all but gone, you know, the absolute devastation among you. Like you say, it's great when you come out the other side, but in the moment, it just must be absolutely harrowing. You know, we've experienced enough of that ourselves to sort of empathise. To be honest, we'd quite like all the teams from from League who came up last season to stay up, I think, most of the fan base. I think it was such a good title race, and there were three such good teams that, you know, and it would also credit us with how good that win was if all three of us could stay up. Obviously, if it's us or you, same as you, I'm sure you'd feel that, you know, you wouldn't think twice about sending us down. But I think it would be, you know, it was such a good good title race and three really good teams. You know, one of the best seasons I can remember.
Yeah, it was definitely fun to be part of. So when you guys went up, I mean, I'm still struggling because this seems to be the hardest championship I've seen in a number of years, especially when you look at the teams that came down from the Premier League, like Leeds, Southampton, Leicester. They're, you know, it's no surprise to see them up there because you look at the teams in this league, and Coventry were 90 minutes off of the Premier League. You've got Middlesbrough in there. They know what they're doing in this league. They're stalwarts, as it were. And then you look at clubs like West Brom as well, and you're thinking, shit, you know, I don't fancy this, but this year is the biggest one I can.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later. See where the gulf between the Championship and League One is so vast, especially given the way our fortunes and Rotherham's have gone, albeit, you know, they did it a season prior. But speaking of Rotherham, there was a period where Plymouth were that Rotherham club, that one that were absolutely smashing League One, couldn't stay in the Championship. And then, you know, do you feel like you want to get that monkey off your back a little bit? There was a period where you went down, solidified, came back up, and even if you just stay in the league, is that what you guys were expecting at the start of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I predicted us to finish 17th, just because, you know, it's a feel-good factor riding the promotion, etc. We brought back Whittaker and Mumba on permanence, although, you know, £1 million each, so our transfer record. It's, you know, when you're talking about the clubs in the Championship, that's peanuts.
That's someone's wages.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, honestly, I think most fans just survive or anywhere above the dotted line. If it's goal difference on the last day, we'll snap your hand off. Because once we're in and, you know, you got that £5 million TV money again, then we can start to do stuff. Because we don't make a loss. The club runs to a budget. This last year, I mean, the year before, I think we lost a couple hundred thousand. This year just gone, we lost £3 million. But that was based on, We spent £3 million on acquiring some land for training facilities, because obviously we haven't got Championship standard stuff at the minute. So that's a, you know, investment for the club, promotion bonuses, and there's also a loan repayment that was required as it was a stipulation if they were to get promoted. Then a certain
right.
So we lost about £3 million. So we're still able to go out and invest in players now without those sort of, you know, promotion bonuses and payments and loans being repaid going out. The money we're going to get for staying in the Championship really allows our excellent recruitment team to go out and do some bits, as it were. And that's exciting. But until we can stay in the league, we're essentially a League One team. You know, a lot of that squad is a League One squad. And although we were able to re-sign three or four players who were out of contract, bring back a couple of our star performers from that season, it is still very much a squad which, you know, many people weren't expecting to go the distance in League One. So the fact that it's up here scrapping, you know, with a good chance of survival in the Championship is testament to how well all of those players have stepped up, to be honest. But yeah, we'd all take survival because realistically, like I say, that squad isn't, you know, it's not been improved a great deal on what it was last year.
Yeah, you can kind of see that. And listening to you talk about being financially, what's the word, incumbent, financially
solvent.
Yeah, that's incumbent's completely the wrong word. financially solvent and being, you know, it is impressive to me as a Sheffield Wednesday fan to hear. So let's get into the Championship. And so, you know, you start the season, like you said, staying up would have been the highest of on the agenda. I mean, how do you feel like it went? Did you then start to believe and think, hang on, we could get mid to top table here, given the start we've had?
I don't think so. You know, we won on the opening day, Huddersfield down here. Then we had Saints and they won in extra time. We gave them a good kick in. They weren't really up to scratch at the time. And then sort of, you know, a few draws, results here. We had lost to Millwall and Swansea back-to-back at home. Tempered optimism. But it always felt like, you know, we always sort of put ourselves up above the bottom three early doors and sort of seemed to be hanging around there. I think before he left, Schumacher's points per game was at 1.18. And since Foster's come in, it's sort of 1.22. So, you know, that seemed to be okay whilst the bottom three were kind of adrift. And you had an awful start, didn't you? Rotherham too. So it's kind of like, well, that's sort of, you know, that's a relief. It's not just about your form, is it? It's about what everyone else is doing to a certain degree. I know you have to look after your games, the old, you know, cliche, but if you've got two teams that are absolutely stinking the gaff up, then you've only got to worry about the one slot, haven't you? And try and keep above someone else. And all of a sudden that narrative changed. So, you know, even though in the last sort of 8-9 games that Foster's been in, he's been getting better results than Schumacher was over, you know, that opening 22 games he was here, where we were thinking, now we're doing all right, you know, we're sort of 17th there around. We were sort of, you know, flitting up and down between sort of 15th and 19th and sort of, you know, a good number of points away from the drop, sort of 8, 6, 8, 7, keeping that sort of, you know, nice couple of games, 3-game, 2-game cushion. Now it's very different because everyone else is starting to pull up the trees. So it's a very different feeling now, even though we're basically on the same trajectory all season. It's a very different feeling now that everyone is competing and starting to click into gear. And, you know, you just got to hope someone else is going to drop with us and drop further.
Yeah, with the weekend that's just gone, that was a culmination of a month where everybody around us in the bottom just picked points off. We beat Millwall. We've just beat Rotherham. We've won four out of the last five. But everybody else seems to have picked points up, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you've got QPR picking points up, Huddersfield beating us, and then there's something like 7 points now between 12th and 21st, or something ridiculous like that. So you've now got about 8-9 teams now looking over their shoulder. And as ridiculous as it sounds, you've got teams like ourselves, like QPR, who've got a bit of...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later. A bit between their teeth right now, and they're fighting for it. And those wins that we've got have now become a point of, like, a necessary amount of wins to get, because had we have not picked up what we see as a random win, we're like, oh my God, we've won. That's amazing. Look at those repeat bloody Millwall. But if had we have not got those wins in those last five games, we would be adrift with Rotherham right now. And I find it incredible the way that the league's gone. And it is a great league for that. So do you feel like, I mean, who are the teams in and around you guys now that you're now looking at thinking they're shitter than us, they're shitter than us? You know what I mean? We're probably better than them.
To be honest, it's a difficult one because under Schumacher, although we would play kamikaze football, you always felt like you could get a result against anyone. And that was probably a bit of a false narrative. I mean, we beat Norwich 6-2 at home, but they were garbage on the day. You know, the tactics worked. They didn't turn up. But other than that, I think we got, you know, we got a draw at Hull. We got a draw at West Brom away. Other than that, we've not really picked up points against the big, big boys. Mm-hmm. But you always felt like you kind of could, because we had that, like I say, Schumacher had sort of instilled that we can take it. You know, we're down with Rotherham, the lowest budgets, lowest wage bills in the league. So you have to have the attitude that everyone's bigger than us and we're going to, you know, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the fight in the dog, you know, the old cliche. So I think we kind of lost that a little bit under Foster in the last sort of since he's come in. It sort of seems to have petered out a bit, and we are more looking at sort of fighting the teams around us rather than going and really having a go like we had at one point. So that it makes games like, you know, us coming to you really important games, because it's those, the games against those around us that we're really going to have to get something out of rather than the freak results. You know, I mean, we've had, you know, 3-3 against Borough at home, 3-3 at, you know, Watford at home.
Not terrible results,
but you sort of felt like, you know, if you're going to go and score three goals at home, you've got a chance of winning. Yes, you know, we weren't defending very well. We were piling men forward, but you've got that chance. Whereas now, you know, I think we've had like three shots on target in the last three home games. And bearing in mind, yes, they are against sort of West Brom, Leeds, Ipswich, who are flying. That's still not our, you know, wasn't what was carrying us through. And I think from the, although we've tightened up in terms of the underlying data, we're still conceding, but we're not sort of threatening, scaring teams. Like, just, you know, Morgan Whitaker's touches have dropped from sort of 40-50 a game to sort of 30-20 a game, things like that. If you're not getting the most out of the best players in your team, if you're not maximising your strength, if your best players are defenders, great, you know, play to the strengths of the team. If your best players are strikers or inside forwards, well, then play to the strengths of your team, your squad. That seems the reasonable assumption to make, or a reasonable plan, and I don't think we're quite doing that at the moment. So in terms of who's around us that we think we're better than them, it's mad that everyone's picking up points. You know, I thought QPR I've got an absolutely horrible run, and I can't see them, you know, they got out of the bottom three, but that's going to be it. And then they went and did what they did on Saturday, so who knows what they're gonna do with their horrible running. You know, we really need to just focus, I think, on trying to get something out of the games against those in and around us, which isn't an attitude we've had this season. It's strange, but I think that's what it's come down to. Games like, you know, we play you and then we play Blackburn. I think you play us and then you've got a couple of tough games after that. So I think it's the same for you. It's going to be focusing on those ones in and around you that, you know, and just hope for the best. You know, Rawl seems a lot more tactically astute than Foster, or adept, I should say. You know, not that... Foster's very tactically, you know, he switched on, but he doesn't seem to have a plan B yet that functions. So if you can shut down our sort of slow build up and then play out through the high press, then we might be a little bit stuck. Whereas Rawl seems a little bit more able to choose his horses for courses. So I'm a little bit nervous about this week, and I know you haven't asked me this question yet, but you know, we've got you and then Blackburn, and we need, I think, 4 points to 6 points out of those two games. Yeah. Two away games to really be feeling comfortable. Otherwise, we're going to be squeaking with you.
Well, Blackburn are in absolute free fall. So I had a screen grab I sent to a friend of mine who's a Blackburn fan. And it was something after, like, I want to say 20-something games. And they've only scored 11 points in the last 17 games. They are absolutely in free fall, Blackburn, right now. Out of the two games that you say with Blackburn and Sheffield Wednesday, Blackburn look at the easiest ones. We seem to have got our shit together. However, having said that, every win that we seem to have got has been seat of your pants. Now, maybe that's because of the, you know, the position we're in where, you know, every week we're going, well, this is a six-pointer, this one's a must-win, and all the other cliches that you could think of about getting the win. But we seem to have done it. But the annoying thing is, like I said before, QPR are winning. Huddersfield have picked up a couple of points. But there are a few teams in there where relegation will catch them up. Stoke got dragged into it the other day. Yeah. Birmingham are in free-falling. Blackburn are free-falling. Because if you look above 15th where you guys are, you're on 40. The next few teams above you are on 44. So there's a bit of a gap there now. If you can break into that group of people, then you'll be laughing. But I think there's going to be... Blackburn, Swansea and Birmingham aren't fighting for their life as much as everybody else. And I feel like they might end up sleepwalking into relegation, a couple of those teams.
Yeah, I think Swansea's a good shout. I think Blackburn Eustace might sort them out sooner rather than later, or at least in time to to get away with something. You know, he's good at making the best out of what he's got. And I think Thomasson was too mated to a style. But Swansea, I think, for definite, there's potential there for them to sleepwalk in. There's a few teams that I thought were going to do it and didn't, like Cardiff, who looked like they were going to, but then sort of managed to just pull it up at the last minute. Millwall, they were dead and buried, but then Harris has come in and got six from two. So it's anyone's game, really. It's quite scary when you sit and analyse it.
It really is. Now, I've got your starting 11 up here from, I want to say, Middlesbrough. Now, one name that pops out there for Sheffield Wednesday fans listening is obviously Lewis Gibson, a player that, if you play Footy Manager a couple of years ago, was top boy. You had to get him in. You know, when he got him on loan or what, he was great. So when we signed him, I thought, tell you what, we've got a player here. And it just didn't really sit well for him at Sheffield Wednesday. It just didn't land. It just didn't happen. Whether we played him wrong, didn't fit into then Darren Moore's style of play and all the rest of it. It just didn't sit. Same with players such as Lewis Wing, who was established championship player, did really well, and then came to us and didn't really set the world on fire. Is this the type of lineup we're going to expect to see on Tuesday night?
I imagine so, yeah. Whether you'll get JB starting again in the wing, I don't know. I say the wing, it's inside forward. I very much expect it's going to be that. It started off as a kind of a 3-4-2-1, and it's now more of a 3-5. Well, I don't know. Hardy's up on his own, and the two inside forwards can either come and support him, drop back into the midfield to flood the midfield, or drop and allow the wing backs to overlap. But it sounds more complicated than it is. It's pretty I wouldn't say straightforward, but it's almost like, if you ever sort of played 5-a-side, 6-a-side, 7-a-side, it's almost like playing 11-a-side in that style. It's very much sort of
constantly rotating.
Who's
playing what position?
Exactly. It's very, very much like that, with sort of like the striker with Hardy starting the press off, and Whittaker or JB. It had been Alfie Devine playing in that left-sided inside forward role, but he'd not been setting the world alight the last few games. So JB, who'd been playing in the central midfield, pushed out against Borough, did really well there, and so he retained his place in the last game against Ipswich. But whether that will stay the same, but that's definitely the sort of setup you're going to see. Three centre backs, Pleguezuelo might come out, I forgot his name, Phillips might come in. Matt Phillips from on loan from Spurs, really good, raw, got a mistake in him, but just athletically and mentally, he's got it all. He just needs to be able to sort of put it together for 90 minutes now, and he'll be playing Premier League football, playing for England. But, saying he's got a ricket in him, he has cost a goal occasionally by sort of like by not reading the movement of the winger coming in. So it's kind of like that's the risk you play, isn't it, when you've got excellent but raw youngsters in on loan. So Pleguezuelo's come in for a couple of games, more experienced fellow we signed from Twente in the summer, hasn't really set the world alight since he's come in, but he's looked good the last couple of games. That's kind of lineup. There might be a few changes, like I say, that right centre back, maybe the wing back Sorinola and Miller might get a rest, and you might see, we've got Lino Sousa on loan from Villa, obviously Bali Mumba, who you remember is playing wing back again after being under Schumacher playing wide forward, wide left. He's back to sort of playing wing back with Ian Foster. So yeah, you might see Mumba come in, you might see Lino Sousa come in. That front three looks probably to be the same. I imagine JB will start out there, unless we get to see one of my favourite players, which is Mustapha Bundu, the Sierra Leonean. He's magic. He's got that kind of Dimitar Berbatov.
He's a bit of a cult hero down there, isn't he?
He is. He hits the target with 80% of his shots. He's the sort of guy who just looks like he's doing nothing, but is actually doing bits.
Doing bits.
Just got that swagger. So I don't know if he's sort of as good in the press as Ian Foster would like. He's a little bit laid back, like I say. He's got the kind of Dimitar Berbatov feel about him, but I'd love to see him get a start on the left. But yeah, you're going to see that sort of lineup, 3-4-2-1, 3-4-3 sort of setup. Yeah,
sounds like Darren Moore when he first started, just switching threes and ones into various slots. So before we wrap it up, Ben, How do you feel like it's going to go? Give me a score prediction.
I think if we can get the first goal, we can frustrate you. We can sit in and nick it. I think if you get the first goal, we could struggle. I think I'm going to go for a 1-1. I think 1-1 is a reasonable. To be honest, I'd probably be happy with that, the way you're going. Like you say, 4 out of 5. Was it Leicester was the only one you lost? I know they're around teams in and around you, but I'll tell you what, I'd snap your hand off to beat four teams in and around us before the end of the season. That would see us up, I reckon. So, yeah, not a team we want to come and play right now. If we could get that nick a 1-1, I'd probably be happy.
Fair enough. Listen, Ben, thanks a lot for joining us. It's Green and White Podcast on the socials, yes?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, cheers.
Thanks a lot, pal. See you later. Hello from the other
side. It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.